So the text tells us that Herod, who was king of the religious establishment in Jerusalem, who was the leader of the very complicated, organized religious establishment, Herod and all the people there, they didn't know anything different had happened. They missed the whole thing. But these magi from the east are the ones who bring the news. That's a different way of thinking about the story of Jesus, but that's how Matthew's gospel begins the story about who Jesus is and what God is doing through the Christ. For the Jewish people to tell the story of the Messiah in that way is fascinating, because in a way it's like they're calling themselves on their racism, their cultural elitism, their prejudice against people of other faiths. It would be kind of like us singing a hymn in our hymn supplement that we've never sung before. This, I don't know if you've seen this book, it's called Sing Prayer and Praise. We don't have enough for every chair in the room to have one, but they're scattered throughout the room. We often sing songs out of this book, and usually we put them up on the screen so you may not even notice. But when in our bulletin it says SPP, that means Sing Prayer and Praise, and that's what this book is. And if you look in this book at number 204, you'll see a title we've never sung before. Maybe you'd like to try it sometime. The name of this song is As-Salamu Alaikum, an Arabic song. I'm thinking, why haven't we ever sung that before? To be quite honest, I got nervous just thinking about suggesting that we sing it, because most of us, when we hear the phrase As-Salamu Alaikum, we think Islam, we think Muslims, we think Arabic. And the truth is, let's be honest, for many of us, maybe I'll just speak for myself a moment, there's some irrational fear, there's some discomfort, there's some racism, some nationalism, maybe. The song, the words of the song just mean peace on earth. And there are Christians who speak Arabic. That same kind of feeling about those cultures to the east of Israel were feelings that the ancient Jews had, just like we have today. And that's who the Magi are, who come to bring their gifts. Their ways are different, but no one in Herod's kingdom was aware that anything different had happened yet. Do you ever look around at the things that are happening in the world, all the problems in the world, all the bad stuff that's happening, and think, why doesn't God do something? Is it possible that God is doing something right now and we're missing it? That something is happening that we're not even aware of? It's kind of comforting to notice in this story that this miraculous thing that's happened, the birth of the Christ, happens, and according to Matthew's gospel, most of the people in that whole area just missed the whole thing. Didn't notice that anything miraculous, anything unusual, anything full of wonder, wonderful, had happened at all. And it's these magi who spend time contemplating the stars and thinking about their dreams who notice it. I wonder why in the world the magi undertook this journey, this very long, what must have been arduous and dangerous journey following the star. I mean, it's one thing just to notice that something new had happened, but to undertake that journey. Recently, I saw the film The Hobbit. Maybe some of you have seen it or at least thought about it. It's about a guy who decides to undertake a journey that changes him. And it's a lot easier to just stay at home. Because when we undertake a journey, we're likely to be changed, to go home in a different way, to be different by the time the thing's all over. But really, that's what the Gospel of Matthew is about. It's an invitation to a journey. It's an invitation to wonder, an invitation to a new kind of willingness, and an invitation to be changed, or at least to consider being changed, to live in a new way. And it's important for us to think some about our willingness and what we're doing now in our lives that's working, and what we might want to try to think about changing. So these magi, these wise men, spend a lot of time contemplating the stars. I don't know how long it's been since you spent time just looking at the night sky. I found myself doing it a few times recently and thinking, I don't do this enough. I don't do this very often. There's some invitation to wonder that's available every night, except when there are clouds, in the night sky, to look up at the stars. And it may sound a little crazy, but I'm suggesting to you that that may be part of what God has for us today. An invitation to spend more time looking at the stars. To spend more time thinking about our dreams. Something that simple might be part of an adventure and a journey of drawing closer to God. The Dalai Lama, many of us follow some of the teachings of the Dalai Lama, who is in exile from Tibet, left Tibet during the communist takeover of Tibet. The Dalai Lama says that he gets up every morning at 4 o'clock. And from 4 to 4:30, he spends time looking at the stars, meditating. And the Dalai Lama said, "This is a very special time of day for me. I look up at the sky. When it's very clear, I can see the stars, and they give me the feeling that I'm quite insignificant in the vast cosmos. It's a realization of what we Buddhists call impermanence," he said. "And this is enormously relaxing." Wow. We might wonder about seeking wisdom through traditions like a Buddhist tradition or a Muslim tradition or those different than our own. But remember that right here in the gospel, we've got this beginning of the story of Jesus with the encouragement to recognize that sometimes wisdom from afar is exactly the wisdom that we need. So these magi are following this star, they're undertaking this journey, and part of what happens on their adventure is right here at the beginning of the gospel, there's a clash between two kingdoms. There's a conflict between Herod's way and another way. Herod is interested in power and maintaining power and control. And so when Herod hears, oh, a new king has been born, Herod is first frightened, and it says all of Jerusalem is frightened with him, and then he's determined to make sure he takes care of that. So what does he do? He tries to enlist the Magi to help him find that king. And when that doesn't work, if you go on reading the next few verses from where I stopped, you learn this tragic horror that took place that characterizes what Herod is really all about. Because when Herod couldn't find the person who's supposed to be the new king, he just makes a decree and kills every child under the age of two, every boy child under the age of two in the entire region. Because that's the way of Herod. it's important for us to see that clash between two kingdoms, that conflict between two kingdoms that really is the story of the whole Gospel of Matthew, and to think about that in terms of a journey within ourselves, because the role of Herod in the narrative is not just about some guy that lived a long time ago. It's about some part of us. Some part of us that wants to control through any means necessary and keep things the way they are to maintain power and dominant control. So in this new year, the question from this text is, where are you looking for God? Where are you searching? Where are you looking for love? Where are you trying to draw closer to the Spirit? In closing, I'm going to share a story that was written up in a book by Jesuit theologian Walter Burghardt, and I learned this story through a sermon that Leonard Sweet told. It's a story of the lives of some saints, and in this case, Muslim saints. And it's the story in particular of a guy who was a king, who was very, very wealthy, whose name was Ibrahim Im Adam. And Ibrahim was not only known for being very wealthy in physical things, but for having a sincere and restless striving to be equally rich in spiritual things. So one night, this king, Ibrahim, was in his bed asleep when all of a sudden he was awoken from sleep by the noise of someone stamping around up on the roof. Someone was on the roof walking around up over his bed. And frightened and startled by this, he called out, "Who's there?" And a voice from the roof said, "It's a friend." And Ibrahim said, "What are you doing?" And the voice said, "I've lost my camel, and I'm looking for it." And Ibrahim, not very happy about being waked up in the middle of the night, yelled out, "You fool, why are you looking for your camel on the roof?" There was silence for a moment, and then the voice answered back, "You fool, why are you lying in a golden bed in your silk pajamas looking for God?" And Ibrahim was so shaken by this statement that he arose from his bed and spent the rest of his life becoming a great saint. So my hope for us in this new year is that there will be many, many days of epiphany, days filled with wonder when we do things that some people might think are silly, like spend time contemplating our dreams or gazing at the stars. When we undertake journeys and when we restlessly and sincerely continue our search for love. Will you join with me in a moment of silence?